In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favour." Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" The overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So Boaz said to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. That's the end of chapter 2.
Simply the fact that when obviously Naomi left, in one sense, she was kind of going to a foreign land, which was kind of for her provision, which wasn't trusting God, or her and her husband. She wasn't trusting God by staying in the land, which of course her previous family history had done several times by going into Egypt. So that's an interesting situation. Secondly, both her sons married foreign women, which was also not recommended in Leviticus and in other books in the Bible. Yeah, Moses was warned, do not war, do not allow to marry foreign women. So it was kind of against the Mosaic law, really, to do that. So it's very interesting that's what actually happened. And then, of course, they died. All the dead men died and they came back. Now, on that journey, remember, we're dealing with a time when there were no judges in the land. There was no king in the land. It was basically anarchy in the countryside, an extremely dangerous place to make any form of journey for anyone. But imagine women on their own traveling. It's really difficult for us to understand the risk, particularly that Ruth was taking by sticking with her mother-in-law and going to a foreign land and a foreign people. And that's why Boaz is so amazed by her and amazed by her what she's actually done. One thing I wanted to say that I felt really was highlighted by this first couple of chapters was simply the fact that Ruth shows an amazing commitment to her mother-in-law, an absolutely amazing commitment. And I think out of all the things that speak in this whole passage, that is one of the most powerful. It reminds us that actually God is totally 100% committed to us. He's totally committed. He loves us and he's committed to the end. And I would argue that actually that is what we all want from our relationships. Primarily from God, we want his commitment and love for us, which we have. And that is absolutely categoric and definite and permanent. God is for you and loves you. But actually, I would argue that one of the most fundamental needs of us all is to know that we have people committed to us. Someone is committed to us. Someone loves us through thick and thin, who's going to stick with us all the way through. Family members, it may be friends. In this instance, it's a mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. But actually, it's a God-given thing where we're committed and we all want that commitment of relationship. We want someone to be committed to us, that no matter how we behave or what we do, they are committed to us. And that's one of the values that we hold very highly at Waterbrook. And I think is a clear biblical principle that comes primarily from God's commitment to us. And that's what I want in my life. I want people to be committed to me. I want you guys in the church to be committed to me. Even if I do muck up or I don't say the right thing or don't do the right thing or I make mistakes, I want to know that you're with me, that you're for me, and you always will be. One of the phrases I say to my children is, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about that. I will always love you, no matter what you do or how you behave or what happens in your life. I will always love you every day of my life. I will. And that is one of the things that I constantly say to them, because I think it's one of the most important messages that they need of commitment. So that gives you a little bit to think about while we read the second two chapters, if that's all right, Kate.
One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, No one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then she told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate and sat down there just as the guardian redeemer he had mentioned came along. Boaz said, "Come over here, my friend, and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and they did so. Then he said to the guardian redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line." "I will redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." At this, the guardian redeemer said, "Well, then I cannot redeem it, because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the guardian redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are witnesses. Then the elders and all the people at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth." Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. So this then is the family line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, Boaz the father of Obed, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David.
Wow, thanks very much. That was really well read. Thank you very much indeed. Okay, so what an amazing story, eh? I just love it. I love this story. It's actually from this particular story that I get the justification to be able to marry my younger wife. Because as you can see, Boaz was very grateful for that, and I was able to marry a much younger wife because of this justification here. But the reality is that this story, I really feel, is an amazing story of grace. Remember I mentioned before the fact that Naomi left the land of Israel and went to Moab and intermarried with foreign women, the men intermarried with foreign women. So it didn't start well, this story. And yet, because of Ruth's consistent and amazing commitment to her mother-in-law, then it blesses everyone. It's really interesting that at the end of the story, really, it's Naomi who is blessed. It's Naomi who has given this granddaughter to look after, this grandson to look after. And, you know, I think that her cup will have been very full at that time. She became into a secure situation from a really insecure circumstance. It's really difficult for us to understand what it would have been like for a single woman without husband or male children or any grandchildren or any direct relatives, how they would have managed to survive in their old age. It would have been very difficult and an extremely difficult situation, but it ends really well. And that's what I love about this story. It's a story of love, of just redemption, and a story of God turning round everything at the end. And actually, the amazing thing is that Ruth was eventually was in the line of David, which went on to be in the line of Jesus. And an amazing, amazing story. And I just love it. And there is so much in there to see, but I love the fact that we can just read it all as a together. We can read the whole thing and really get a picture. And it is kind of a picture of God's redemption to us all, even though things have gone wrong. It ends up okay in the end. I love a good story where the ending is good. I'm a bit of a romantic, I'm afraid, and that's marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I was going to say. We'll have one more song, and then we'll split out into great breakout groups. I really feel that this story can really encourage and bless lots of people in different ways. You know, we all see different things. So, John, can we?